booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Friday Eve. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Good morning, Frankie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. I just want to remind everybody, I mean, it's not just, of course, Bernie. Bernie's not going to be doing it. It's going to be Sid walking, Greg Kelly, you, me, and Dominic.
Oh, well,
so, yes,
we're not
if you're
in
a
the
fan
commercial.
Of ours, you're, you, no, we're not. But you can, you know, just imagine that we're in the commercial.
Okay.
And you can join us as well. Just go to WABC Radio/walk. Let's talk about the weather today. It is going to be lousy from the Ramsey Monster Weather Center. We're going to have some clouds and some scattered thunderstorms around the area. High of about 75 degrees tonight. Those storms continue. Doesn't seem like we're going to have the raging storms, but we will have thunder. Friday, more showers, 75 degrees. I mean, we'll have sort of an intermittent mix of clouds and showers and clouds and showers. I don't see any sun on the horizon for Friday. We have maybe a little sun popping out today here and there. And on Saturday, looks like a nice day. 84 degrees, mostly sunny. Decent amount of humidity, unfortunately. Sunday is looking very nice, too. 79 degrees and very low humidity. So Sunday is the day to do your outdoor plans if you've got them. Monday's actually looking really nice, too. 78 degrees. When are we going to get down into those cool fall temperatures? Maybe by the end of next week.
Well, that's when it'll officially be fall, right?
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get there by the end of the month.
The federal prosecutor looking into the origins of the Russia investigation could soon take his case to a grand jury. Multiple reports are suggesting that prosecutor John Durham might be days or even hours away from going to a grand jury with allegations that a cybersecurity attorney made a false claim to the FBI. The statute of limitations, rather, on the attorney's conversation with an FBI agent expires this weekend. Former Attorney General William Barr appointed Durham to investigate how the probe of possible contacts between the 2016 Trump campaign and Russia got started.
Well, let's get you a little COVID update, shall we? We've got quite a few updates, actually. Americans might soon see a dearth of babies. New study found nearly half of women trying to get pregnant have just decided to hold off thanks to COVID. More than a third who are just thinking about it say that they're doing the same. Curiously, experts expected a baby boom because of the pandemic, but in fact, births have actually dropped. There were 142,000 less babies born in 2020 compared to the previous year. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
Yeah,
I'm doing my part.
Yes, you are. Yeah. Yes, you are. And she is due December what, 5th?
6th, yes.
6th, oh my gosh. That's right around the corner, Frank.
That's right.
You're going to be a dad.
You're telling me.
Holy moly.
Frightening situation. All right, Joe Nolan has the traffic and transit on the 7th. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Frank. Good morning, Juliet. And we are off to a rip-roaring start here. We got a problem on the Major Deegan Expressway. As you come southbound on 138th Street, there's an overturned tractor-trailer. It is hauling garbage. All that garbage is out on the roadway. There are two lanes blocked northbound as well. So as you head out onto the Deegan this morning, you've got southbound closed and only one lane open northbound. So obviously a major, major issue. If you're on 208 in New Jersey northbound, getting on to northbound 287, that's closed with an overturned vehicle. And then Route 17 northbound up in Ramsey, East Crescent Avenue, that's shut down. An accident investigation, a pedestrian accident apparently there. Now, mass transit, everybody good? And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. And this report is a service of Empire Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield and Heart of America are helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more at empireblue.com/NY Liberty. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. There were, like I said, 142,000 less babies born in 2020 compared to 2019. And speaking of, babies could be next up for the COVID vaccine. Pfizer says this winter is the target date for approval to jab 6-month-olds to 5-year-olds. Right now, the company is doing in-house trials, and those are expected to help scientists glean information on whether it's safe for the young ones to get those shots, to get the vaccine by November or thereabouts. Now, would you give your baby a shot?
Well, I mean, I would talk with our pediatrician and see what the doctor recommends. Yeah. And you know, Rachel is and she just entered her third trimester, so her doctor gave her the go ahead to get her shot, and they say that that once you know when you're pregnant and you get the vaccine, that it conveys some protection to the baby, and if you're nursing, which Rachel's planning on doing, it conveys some protection that way as well. So I mean, I guess we'll have a conversation with Rachel's doctor and the baby's doctor.
Excellent.
when that time comes.
I'm very excited to hear about that.
Well,
so happy for you, Frankie.
Thank you very much. A historic flight is also pretty exciting, and it is paving the way for the future of space travel. Four people are now orbiting Earth. SpaceX launched its first all-civilian crew last night from Florida, meaning there are no professional astronauts on board. A trained pilot is leading the way. He paid for the three others to ride with him, including a cancer survivor. The mission wraps up on Saturday and aims to raise money for St. Jude Children's Hospital.
God, that's incredible.
It really is.
You would get me on that thing for all the money in the world. Woo! But good for them. Well, look, most people worry about, I don't know, a wayward car slamming into them when they're sitting outside of a cafe, right? Dining. But these days in New York City, apparently you need to add being shot to the list. For the second time in 3 years, a diner was shot while eating at Philippe Chow on East 60th and Madison. The latest incident happened last night, as a matter of fact. Cops say two men approached the restaurant's outdoor seating area around 10 p.m., and tried to rob a 31-year-old patron of his Rolex, and then they got the Rolex. They then turned to a 28-year-old sitting nearby, and they, I guess, demanded something from him. He started struggling, said no. One of the attackers just shot him. The duo fled in a light blue Mercedes. Back in 2018, a bodyguard for Tekashi 9, that rapper, was shot sitting outside of the same place. So obviously this is not the first time that we've seen this happen, especially recently. So, I guess don't wear your finest jewelry and, accessories when you're sitting outside dining in New York City. How sad is that?
It is as sad as can be. Also sad is the situation in Afghanistan. Dozens of senators are pushing to honor the 13 service members killed in Afghanistan last month. A bill unveiled yesterday will posthumously award them the Congressional Gold Medal. Senator Steve Daines said it's fitting that Congress commemorates their sacrifice. A House companion bill was introduced just days after two bombings went off near the Kabul airport during evacuations.
Electric Zoo. It's always a fun dance party, so I hear, for the kids. But Electric Zoo this year was a stew of COVID. That is according to the city's health department, who says the massive dance party festival on Randall's Island is linked now to a COVID cluster. Shocker. Officials say anyone who went to the festival earlier this month needs to get tested ASAP, especially if you're experiencing symptoms. Now, the dance party event did require patrons to either be fully vaccinated or to prove they've tested negative within 72 hours of attending. But, you know, that's never a guarantee. So there you go.
Absolutely.
If you're listening and you happen to have gone, I'm guessing most of our listeners don't even know what Electric Zoo is.
It's
a little obscure. I've heard of it only because I think it was the one that Curtis used to like to go to.
Of course. Yeah. All right. Well, the Biden administration is pushing plans to make child care more affordable. Vice President Harris spoke at the Treasury Department. She cited the mass exodus of women in the workplace during the ongoing COVID pandemic and labeled it a national emergency. Harris said the struggle for affordable quality child care is a fight for our future. She argued the country is falling behind on a global scale.
A Chinese defector is claiming that he actually warned the United States that China was covering up a deadly new virus in Wuhan months before COVID-19 was actually declared a pandemic. Defector Wei Jingsheng said he actually warned the Trump administration about COVID. He claims that he took his concerns to senior officials in the U.S. government, but he says that they ignored him. He says that he made the approach all the way back in November of 2019. He heard rumors about a new SARS virus being kept secret in China and says that he was brushed off.
Speaking of COVID, Pfizer says its COVID booster restores the effectiveness of the vaccine to 95%. That's according to data submitted to the FDA for approval. It was reportedly collected during a study in Israel between July 1st and August 30th. But the FDA says there's more data to be sent or reviewed. A panel of experts will meet tomorrow to decide if there's enough evidence from Pfizer to show a third shot is necessary.
My mom already got her third shot.
Really? So Jerry Crowley, who was the co-host of the Cats at Night show last night, he was just saying he got his third shot. He didn't have any ill effects from the first two shots, but he said the third shot kind of threw him for a loop for a couple of days. What was your mom's experience?
She had absolutely no issues whatsoever with the first, second, or the third. She's kind of
God bless her. That's great.
Yeah. She's got. I mean, she's 78 years old. She's again going on 20, but she's doing great. So happy for her. Would you get the third shot?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would
when
too.
It's prescribed for me, yeah.
Definitely. All right, 5:15, time for sports with Matt Sapienza. What's happening, Matt?
Thanks, Juliet. Well, here we go. What's going on in the wide world of sports? What is going on with the Mets? That's a question I've been asking for many, many, many years at this point. Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado each hit one of St. Louis's four homers, and the Cardinals flashed some fantastic outfield defense in beating the Mets 11-4 for their fifth straight victory. Harrison Bader homered, drove in three runs, and made a timely grab at the center field fence to help John Lester improve to a 9-1 against the Mets. Edmundo Sosa also went deep, and Goldschmidt also had three hits as the streaking Cardinals completed a three-game sweep by winning their seventh in eight games. As for the Bronx Bombers, Brett Gardner blooped a two-run single in the ninth inning that was set up by a double steal, and the Yankees beat the Baltimore Orioles 4-3 for their third straight win. The Yankees kept pace with Toronto and Boston atop the atop the AL wildcard standings as all three teams won. Austin Hayes homered twice for the Orioles, including a two-out and two-run drive in the eighth off Chad Green for a 3-2 lead. Orioles reliever Tyler Wells walked Luke Voit to begin the ninth, and Gleyber Torres followed with a single. Pinch runner Tyler Wade and Torres pulled off a double steal with one out as it began to rain. Gardner followed with a single to center, much to the delight of their fans that flocked to Camden Yards. With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Matt Sapienza, and that's WABC Sports. Back to you guys.
Oh, my Orioles. My God. The days of them being a team were so, so far faded. It's so
well, sad. As we Met fans are used to saying, wait till next year.
I've been waiting for next year for like 20 years, 25 years, unfortunately. All right, coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, we're going to continue with my three-part series on an aspect of cruising that I don't think a lot of folks really know about, theme cruises. I've got some great theme cruises coming up just in the next few months and also next year, so you have a little bit of time to plan. That's coming up. And also, what's happening in BizBuzz, Frank?
Well, quite a bit. There's a lot of concern about inflation, but there's also a lot of concern
inflation
about
again.
Yeah, there's a big problem. But jobless claims are due out today, and the people in Congress are asking Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook to drop Instagram for kids.
Okay. And also on this day is coming up, we're going to be talking pilgrims, my guy Louis the 14th, Oliver Wendell Holmes, and schools. At least from my end, we're going to be covering all that stuff. All of that coming up.
Here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, let me tell you what's happening on Wall Street. Yesterday was kind of an interesting day. The Dow gained 236 points. The S&P 500 rose 37 points. And the NASDAQ jumped 123 points. So all three major indexes finishing yesterday in the green or the black. Retail sales for August and the weekly jobs report come out this morning. Retail analysts expect to see a 0.7 decline from July and a 13% increase over August of last year when the numbers are released at 8:30 this morning. Also due out at 8:30, the weekly report on first-time claims for unemployment benefits. The experts are forecasting 300,000 American workers filing initial jobless claims. That would be the fewest since March of last year before the pandemic let the air out of the economy. Democratic lawmakers are asking Facebook not to build a version of its Instagram app for kids. Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts, Representative Lori Trahan, also of Massachusetts, and Florida Congresswoman Kathy Castor sent a letter to CEO Mark Zuckerberg yesterday asking if he had reviewed the social media giant's own research. They cited his own testimony at a House hearing in March about the impacts of social media on children's mental health. They also asked if he had reviewed Facebook's own research showing Instagram is harmful to some teenagers, especially girls. At least 44 states have already asked Zuckerberg to ditch the new app, even though it would have parental controls. Juliet?
Thank you very much. An emotional and frustrating day during the Senate's hearing into the FBI's botched investigation into serial sex predator and pedophile Larry Nassar. He is, of course, the doctor who was convicted of sexually assaulting multiple athletes, over the course of years, actually. One of those victims was gold medal Olympic gymnast Simone Biles. She was there yesterday testifying. She thinks there should be consequences for those who allow the predator to harm children. Biles was joined by fellow athletes Michaela Maroney, Maggie Nichols, and Allie Raisman on Capitol Hill. They also testified on the FBI's botched handling of the sex abuse cases. The hearing is looking at why the FBI didn't investigate Nassar for his crimes sooner. They left the predator basically free to carry on abusing more than a year after allegations were first reported. The FBI's handling came under close scrutiny in a damning report by the Justice Department watchdog group, which released their findings in July.
And, you know, I'll just add that one of those former gymnasts that was there yesterday was Jessica Howard, who used to work here, actually, about 10 years ago. She was a call screener here.
Really?
She was a very nice woman. I had no idea she had been through this abuse with Larry Nassar. And I thought she gave very compelling testimony about the need for all the FBI agents who ignored the reports from these women that were abused and how culpable they are and how they should be held accountable.
If the FBI had done anything that was even within their own policies and procedures or followed any of the laws that are already in place to protect children from sexual abuse, some of these people would not even be here as victims, let alone talk about a recovery.
So Pat Leahy has called on the agents that ignored these women's reports to not only be fired, which one of them already was, but to be prosecuted as well.
Wow. Now, did you know that she was she a gymnast?
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, she had already been in the Olympics when she worked
here. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. My gosh.
Yeah.
What an awful story. All right. Here's another story for you. Did AOC's dress designer rip off a street artist? The street artist certainly thinks so. The Velvet Bandit is her name. She posted a comparison of AOC's dress that she wore at the Met Gala the other night. Of course, it features the phrase "tax the rich" scrawled in red letters over a white background. Apparently, the Velvet Bandit also had a street art example that looked similar. You know, the letters "tax the rich" written in red over a white background. Now, frankly, I don't know. I don't know that I'm really buying this whole tax the rich person. I think it's a little bit, writing in red letters over a white background, to me, it seems like that could be, that could
right.
happen.
Anybody can do
very
it.
Very easily. But anyway, so the Velvet Bandit wrote on Instagram Wednesday, AOC stepped out at the Met Gala wearing a dress designed by Aurora James that looks hella similar to my design. You would think that maybe she'd be very upset about this or angry or wanted to sue. Instead, she says, I admire both of these women greatly, and I would love nothing more than to collaborate with them in some way. And she asked her followers to tag AOC and the designer, saying that they need a female street artist working on their team.
The White House denies that they invited Nicki Minaj to visit. The rapper tweeted that while facing backlash for comments she made about COVID vaccinations, a spokesperson says she was only offered a phone call with one of their doctors to answer vaccine-related questions. Minaj says she was locked out of Twitter after her posts, but the social media giants claim that it hasn't taken any actions against her.
Well, by the way, the Trinidadian health minister has been forced to issue a public statement after Nicki Minaj made a false claim about the COVID jab to her 22 million Twitter fans. He wrote, "There have been no cases of swollen testicles after taking the COVID jab." This is because Nicki Minaj alleged that her friend living down there had the jab and then had said swollen issues. The rapper also alleged that her cousin's friend became impotent. And the Trinidadian health minister said this is false, false, false.
Well,
so there you go.
There you have it. Nicki Minaj, not necessarily the go-to authority on health-related issues.
But correct.
Go figure. Correct. There's a new winner of America's Got Talent. This is a spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't watched their DVR recording yet. But magician Dustin Tavella was crowned the winner of season 16 last night. He gets $1 million and a headlining show in Las Vegas. He told People magazine his experience on stage before finding out was wild. He also revealed all the finalists agreed they wouldn't mind losing to one another.
I'm just not into magic. Did you watch this? Have you any idea what this guy's like?
I have not seen any of his act, no.
Well, I guess he's probably pretty amazing.
I'm sure.
Beat some of the acts that I've seen on that show before.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you, Walter. On this day, September 16th, 1620, 102 pilgrims depart Plymouth, England for the New World on a merchant ship with roughly 30 crew. It took the Mayflower, yes, the Mayflower, 10 weeks longer than expected because of delays. They arrived near the tip of Cape Cod, Massachusetts on November 21st, just as the harsh winter began kicking in. Had they not had the help of indigenous people to teach them survival skills and how to find the food and what food to eat, they probably all would have died, but in fact, only half the original pilgrims survived that winter. The following year, they celebrated the colony's first harvest, along with the natives, on an occasion we now call, Frank, Thanksgiving.
Yes, and then they celebrated with some great deals the following day on
Black Friday.
On this day in 1908, General Motors was founded by William Billy Durant.
On this day, September 16th, 1701, now just focus here. King James II of England dies. The French king, Louis XIV, proclaims James's son, by his second marriage to the Catholic Mary of Modena, the rightful successor to the English throne. His name was James II. But Protestants did not like that idea, not one bit. They supported William of Orange, the husband of the younger James' late half-sister, Queen Mary, as in William and Mary. The young James lived most of his life in exile, supported by King Louis over in France and his court as well as the Pope. Later in life, James's son, the young James's son known as Bonnie Prince Charlie, tried to make a run to reclaim the Stuart throne, but he failed as well.
Hmm.
Yes. I love the story.
Yeah.
Bonnie Prince Charlie. Outlander? You didn't watch Outlander, did you?
I never watched it, no.
The great actor plays Bonnie Prince Charlie. Excellent, excellent actor. Very funny.
Well, on this day in 1920, a bombing in New York's Wall Street Financial District left 30 people dead.
Yeah, happened 1 minute after noon on Wall and Broad. A horse-drawn wagon was laden with explosives. It passes lunchtime crowds, stops across from the headquarters of J.P. Morgan. Horse and wagon blown to bits, but the driver allegedly got away. And conventional wisdom is that it was the work of anarchists, but no one knows for sure still.
On this day in 1940, the Selective Training and Service Act was signed into law by President Franklin Roosevelt. It required all men between the ages of 21 and 45 to register for the draft. This was the first peacetime draft in the United States history.
On this day, 1782, the Great Seal of the United States, our national symbol used to authenticate certain documents by the federal government, is used for the very first time. The man who executed its debut was a congressional secretary. His name was Charles Thompson. He needed it to verify signatures on a document authorized by George Washington to negotiate an exchange of prisoners.
On this day in 1981, boxer Sugar Ray Leonard knocked out Tommy the Hitman Hearns to win the welterweight boxing championship. At the time, Hearns was 32-0 and the reigning WBA 147-pound titleist.
Remember that. On this day, 1830, Oliver Wendell Holmes pens a poem dedicated to the 18th-century ship, the USS Constitution, Old Ironsides. The reason for the nickname is because the cannon fire from enemy ships could never seem to penetrate her hull. The ship is still very much alive and well. It's berthed in Boston and is open year-round.
On this day in 1993, Frasier, starring Kelsey Grammer, debuted on NBC and lasted 11 seasons.
One of my favorite shows, and it's coming back.
Well, yeah, and not only that,
yes,
but the star of that show, Kelsey Grammer, is going to be appearing on the Bernie and Sid show this morning with Bernard McGurk.
Excellent, excellent. On this day, 1863, the first American school outside the United States is founded by the American philanthropist Christopher Robert in Istanbul, Turkey. This is where they had the first school. Robert College, as it's called, is a highly, it's still there, it's highly selective co-ed high school. It's actually the number one private school in Turkey. It's on a 65-acre campus on the European side of Istanbul. It's the oldest continuously operating American school outside of the U.S., and it has produced Nobel laureates, artists, performers, academics, journalists, well, somebody from CNN, as a matter of fact, and world leaders, including the first female Turkish doctor and the first woman to be Turkey's prime minister.
On this day in 2014, President Obama announced that the U.S. would send 3,000 military troops to Liberia to help combat the Ebola outbreak. The president's plan called for building 17 treatment centers and the training of thousands of healthcare workers.
And on this day, September 16th, 1963, the Beatles release She Loves You here in the States. The song shoots to number one very slowly. It actually didn't hit the top of the charts for 6 months, but by then the group was on fire. In fact, the song helped set a record by being one of five Beatles songs holding the top five positions at one time.
On this day in 2016, Donald Trump admitted that President Obama was born in the United States and blamed Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton for starting rumors about the president's citizenship. Speaking at a hotel in D.C., Trump said, quote, President Barack Obama was born in the United States, period.
Well, that is it for me on this day.
Same here.
On this day. Hey, I have some royal news before we get over to Joe Nolan. Oh, yes. Harry and Meghan have been named Time Magazine's, well, one of their world's most 100 influential people, one of those groups, alongside Dolly Parton, Naomi Osaka, the tennis player. They are being praised for giving a voice to the voiceless, and in fact, they are on the cover. It's a very, well, they're getting a lot of criticism from those rags over in the UK for the picture being heavily airbrushed. I mean, just leave them alone. They've been doing such wonderful things. Critics say that it shows Meghan is in charge because she's kind of in the forefront and Harry's sort of leaning on her in the back. But Time insists that the portrait shows a powerful dynamic as equal partners. And one of their close friends wrote the profile, declaring that the couple are blessed through birth and talent and burned by fame. That is Chef Jose Andreas, who is one of the most wonderful human beings on the planet. He says the Duke and Duchess have compassion for the people they don't know. And Harry and Meghan wrote a profile for fellow Time 100 nominee and vaccine campaigner Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala. Or Iweala. Yes.
538, let me tell you what's happening in the world of business. Yesterday was an up day for all three major indexes, the S&P 500 rising 37 points, the NASDAQ jumping 123 points, and the Dow jumping 236 points. Southwest Airlines is unveiling new incentives to get their staff vaccinated against COVID-19. The Dallas-based carrier says it will offer extra pay to the staff who get the jab and show proof of full vaccination by mid-November. According to a company memo reviewed by CNBC, employees who upload their vaccine cards to the company by the end of November 15th will get 16 hours of pay. The company said flight attendants and pilots will receive pay for 13 trip segments. Southwest told staff the new rules have nothing to do with the sweeping mandates that President Biden announced last week to get more people vaccinated. And more self-driving cars are about to hit the road. That's because Walmart is testing the cars that'll involve the use of Ford Escape hybrids. They'll be deployed in Miami, Washington, D.C., and Austin, Texas. This will allow for door-to-door delivery of groceries, along with other things. Juliet?
All right, we're going to start, Jet Set Juliet, with some breaking news. When the U.S. reopens to international travelers, there's going to be a new system in place for entry, apparently. Contact tracing is going to be a big part of the new plan. However, when this new plan is going into effect, we still don't know. This is insanity. The Biden administration says that the current spike of domestic COVID cases is holding back the lifting of international travel restrictions. I mean, we have vaccines for a reason. So I don't know when this is going to happen, but it is getting extremely frustrating for the poor people in the travel industry and all of the tangential industries shooting off from that. Now we move on, continuing with my three-part series on an aspect of cruising that I don't think a lot of folks really know about, theme and specialty cruises. Yesterday I told you about river cruises, but today and tomorrow we're going to focus more on the big ships. By far, one of the most popular cruise themes centers around music. Now, most are happening in 2022, so you've got a little bit of time to plan. But I want to kind of go down a list here, and I picked some of the most, the ones that I thought maybe would appeal to our audience. In the rock category, you can call, well, I mean, you can rock and roll all night, really, on Norwegian's Kiss Cruise, sailing October 29th from Miami. Yes, the Kiss. And by the way, it's not just concerts. I mean, the Kiss will be performing, but they'll be hanging out. They'll take pictures. You know, they'll socialize with people. So it's really meant to be an interactive thing for fans, not just with Kiss, but with all of these that I'm going to mention. A few days later, Norwegian sails again from Miami for Rock Boat, which is hosted by the band Sister Hazel. And it features more, you know, like alternative acts like American Authors from right here in the city, by the way. They're in a New York City band. Switchfoot, and one of my discoveries, actually, a rocky blues band from Canada called the Blue Stones. This is a really cool band. So they'll be on that one. Speaking of, Keeping the Blues Alive at Sea sails out of Miami on Norwegian as well. They've got some big acts, including Joe Bonamassa, George Thorogood, and the Destroyers, among others. That's pretty cool. Retro music fans. Okay, you've got quite a selection here. We're going to start with the 70s rock and romance cruise. That happens February 19th on Celebrity from Miami. It's featuring, oh my God, I would love this. It's featuring Air Supply, Foreigner, Little River Band, Melissa Manchester, and more. So when I'm saying these groups, like, I'm not saying everybody that's going to be performing, so you'll have to look things up for yourself, and I'll actually give you a link on my Twitter at Jet Set Juliet. Now, out of all of these retro cruises, I think I would probably definitely choose the 80s cruise on Royal Caribbean. It leaves March 5th, and it features a totally tubular lineup, including Human League, Belinda Kyle, Carlisle, rather, from the Go-Go's, Berlin, Modern English, ABC, and get this, it's hosted by the OG MTV VJs, Nina Blackwood, Mark Goodman, and Alan Hunter, which, that would be awesome. Then again, I love my disco. And the Ultimate Disco Cruise sails on Celebrity out of Miami February 26th with a lineup featuring everybody from Kool & the Gang to Casey and the Sunshine Band to Exposé, which is, that's awesome, Peaches and Herb, The Spinners. That's a great one. There's also the Soul Train Cruise, which is set for January 11th. That's on Holland. It features Charlie Wilson, Patti LaBelle, Gladys Knight, Jeffrey Osborne, Tavares. That's, I mean, I don't know which one I think I would do the 80s. But also, don't forget your tie-dye. because the Flower Power Cruise on Celebrity sails away March 28th from Miami with acts like the Hollies, the Zombies, the Yardbirds, and the Association. Again, this is not a complete list. I might not have mentioned the bands or the performers or the special guests that you love, because each lineup on each sailing is packed. So, yes, you can do other things on a theme cruise, okay? It's not like you walk on and you're just inundated and immersed in the theme. You know, the pools are there, the bars, the restaurants, the excursions, they're all happening. Themes just add another layer of entertainment and events on board, and also a layer of fans. So you might want to think about that if you're going on a cruise. Make sure you know that it's either a theme cruise or that it's not a theme cruise. Coming up tomorrow, I'm going to wrap up my series with the specialty themes for sports fans, athletes, bikers, and Trekkies, and more. So make sure you listen in tomorrow at 5:40 a.m. And that's your Jet Set Julia Travel
Update. All right. Today. Well done for the cruisers and non-cruisers among us. We'll bring you sports with Matt Sapienza in just a minute. But first, the Milwaukee Bucks are making history. They've hired a woman announcer for their TV broadcast. That makes Lisa Byington the first to give play-by-play for a major men's sports team. She's worked as a reporter and an announcer for other networks, including Fox, ESPN, and CBS. She was also the first play-by-play announcer for a Big Ten network football broadcast back in 2017.
What is her name?
Her name is Lisa Byington.
Byington. I'm going to look this up. Byington. Okay.
Yeah, if it goes well, we may replace Matt Sapienza with her.
Oh,
or
God,
or
no.
At least a woman.
Oh, stop that.
Have a woman do sports on our show.
I'm just a kid.
Yeah. Don't remind us. Lisa Byington. Okay. All right. I've seen her before. I don't know what she sounds like, though. But very cool. Congratulations to her.
All right. Well,
what's up, Matt?
Matt Sapienza, what's happening in sports?
All right, here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. The Mets are just sinking. Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado each hit one of St. Louis's four homers, and the Cardinals flashed some fantastic outfield defense in beating the Mets 11-4 for their fifth straight victory. Harrison Bader homered, drove in three runs, and made a timely grab at the center field fence to help John Lester improve 9-1 against the Mets. Edmundo Sosa also went deep, and Goldschmidt had three hits as the streaking Cardinals completed a three-game sweep by winning their seventh in eight games. As for the Bronx Bombers, things are just going up. Brett Gardner blooped a two-run single in the ninth inning that was set up by a double steal, and the Yankees beat the Baltimore Orioles 4-3 for their third straight win. The Yankees kept pace with Toronto and Boston atop the AL wildcard standing as all three teams won. Austin Hayes homered twice for the Orioles, including a two-out, two-run drive of the eighth off Chad Green for a 3-2 lead. Orioles reliever Tyler Wells walked Luke Voit to begin the ninth, and Gleyber Torres followed with a single. Pinch runner Tyler Wade and Torres pulled off a double steal with one out as it began to rain. Gardner followed with a single to center, much to the delight of their fans that flocked all the way to Camden Yards. With sports at 15:45, I'm Matt Sapienza. You make it a great day out there. Still working on that.
We will.
Make it a great day out there.
We will. All right, before we get to traffic and transit on the 7s, let me tell you what's happening with former U.S. House Speaker Denny Hastert. He is settling a lawsuit over hush money payments to a man who accused him of child sexual abuse. Hastert struck a deal yesterday with the man at the center of the prosecution that sent him to federal prison 5 years ago. That settlement comes just days before a trial was set to begin in the matter on Monday. The man filed the lawsuit in 2016 in an effort to force Hastert to pay the remaining balance of hush money he agreed to pay so the man would keep quiet about allegations that Hastert abused him when the former House Speaker was a wrestling coach at an Illinois high school in the 1970s.
Good grief. Yikes. Yes. Okay. Coming up, we are going to talk about Alanis Morissette. I told you yesterday at the end of the show that there's a documentary that she participated in, and now she's furious about it. I have a little more information on that.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. And we are back. I'm Juliet. Frank is the male voice.
I am indeed.
Yes, when it's not Matt Sapienza's voice. And you said that you had something to talk about. Oh, we have something to talk about. We have Bernie and Sid to talk about. So Sid is off today.
Yes, he's off for Yom Kippur. Hopefully he has an easy fast today.
Yes, that's right.
But coming up on the Bernie and Sid show, it's just going to be Bernie. And their guests include a very interesting cast of characters today. You are going to hear from Frasier star Kelsey Grammer and none other than Republican nominee for mayor Curtis Sliwa. He's going to be on at 7:40, and Bill O'Reilly is going to be on as well.
Okay. Well, on that note, let's talk about some other things that are happening. I told you yesterday at the end of the show again about Alanis Morissette, the singer. She is not happy with a new documentary that's scheduled to come out shortly. We're finding a little bit of more information as to why. She apparently skipped the premiere of what she calls a salacious HBO documentary that claims that she was raped and says that she interviewed during a very vulnerable time. I think she was having postpartum depression, she says. She says the documentary is reductive, and she says it contains implications and facts that are simply not true. Now, I don't really understand this because she is the one who's sitting there being interviewed. So unless they're just getting crafty with editing, which is always a possibility, but HBO's not really their style. She says, look, this is not the story I agreed to tell. Now, they perhaps went to talk to other people and maybe they shed some light on the story. It's really not clear. But she says, bottom line, that she was lulled into a false sense of security and she was taken advantage of by filmmakers that she trusted. And she said, obviously, they don't warrant her trust. But the whole gist of it is that it's supposed to be, well, she thought it was supposed to be a 20th anniversary nod to her big breakthrough album, which came out in 1995, Jagged Little Pill. So I don't know. I don't know about this.
I don't know either. But, I mean, look, you shouldn't give interviews if you shouldn't say things in these interviews that you don't want out there.
Yeah, I'm just not sure that this is the fault of the filmmaker.
No.
I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens when this thing comes out.
Yeah. Again, as I said yesterday, I think this is generating much more interest in this documentary
100%.
Than would otherwise be the case.
Yeah.
Time Magazine is out with its list of the 100 most influential people of 2021. Among the icons included Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
I just did this story, Frank. Are you not listening to
me? I didn't hear you say that.
We did the whole, yeah.
Was that part of the Royal Alert?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Well, I know that you're, listen, here's the thing, guys. So we're on this show, right? And we have to do the show. We're constantly going back and forth with each other. But we also have to monitor breaking news and news that's happening, you know. So we're giving you the breaking news. And it can be a little bit challenging. So sometimes when Frank is doing his stuff, I'm searching to see if there's anything new. So I would imagine that's what happened.
All right, well, let me tell you about what Time Magazine is doing. They have this list of the 100. All right, I'm just kidding. All right, sorry about that. Now,
Who else is on the list, though?
All right, well, I was going to get there, but I got heckled. All right, so you have Britney Spears. You have Alexei Navalny. In the Pioneer section, you have pop star Billie Eilish and famed civil rights attorney Ben Crump. The names listed as titans include decorated Olympian Simone Biles, Apple CEO Tim Cook, Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady. Political leaders include President Biden, China's Xi Jinping, and Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney. They're all on the list.
Oh, all right.
Quite influential.
Yeah. I mean, these lists are always curious. You're not, I mean, you are a gambler, but I would imagine you're not a Macau type gambler. You're not flying over to Macau, right?
I am not. Well, I have not done that yet, no.
Would you be interested? You know, it is known as China's Las Vegas.
Yeah, probably not. Unless there was a serious need for me to be there, I probably would not be.
Well, I don't know if you've heard about this, but there seems to be some sort of cultural revolution happening over out of Beijing. Officials there are clamping down on artists and, you know, performers and things like that, basically really shutting down any influence from the West. They don't like that. And they're also apparently cracking down, or they are announcing a crackdown on industry. And one of the big industries there is, of course, gambling in Macau. I mean, it's, again, China's Las Vegas. Apparently, the Macau casino suffered an $18 billion loss, $18 billion losses. in shares after Beijing officials unveiled plans for a crackdown on the industry in the world's biggest gambling city. So, you know, I guess maybe don't make any plans to go to Macau.
Yeah, I'll stick with my Atlantic City trips.
Yeah, it's probably good. For the time cheaper. Being.
Yeah.
Cheaper.
New York City's San Gennaro Feast starts today. It's the first time the street festival will line the streets of Little Italy since the beginning of the pandemic. Sources say organizers were on the fence about hosting the event this year, but said it was necessary to ensure its longevity. A blessing of the stands takes place this evening at 6, while the 23rd annual cannoli eating contest is slated for 1 p.m. tomorrow. Festivities run through September 26th, ending with the 5th annual meatball eating competition.
You know, when I was doing Curtis and Juliet, we did a really great live show from San Gennaro at a very, very nice restaurant, and it started to pour. It was like a monsoon. We had all of our equipment outside.
Oh boy.
And poor Dan. Oh my God. Dan, our engineer, was just flipping out trying to deal with it. But it was a really great time. It's always a fun event to go to. And that was the first time that I had ever been to it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoy it. I'd
well,
like to
maybe
go,
we'll
yeah.
get you back there this year.
I'd like to go. I would like to go. Maybe that's what we should do after we do our 5K walk for Tunnel to Towers on Sunday the 26th, because again, as you've been reminded many times, Monday is my birthday, you know, and so I've got some friends coming. Maybe we'll go and have some Italian food.
Well, I have to get back to Staten Island because it's my wife's baby shower, and I have to entertain a lot of the husbands and boyfriends that are attending.
Oh, I see.
But maybe we can go tomorrow after our Friday morning meeting.
I don't know if you saw this on Fox News last night. I don't watch Fox, but Jim Brewer has canceled his stand-up shows at venues requiring coronavirus vaccinations. So, and I'm just looking at the video of it. He was on Tucker Carlson, and Tucker just looks so, he just looks, his face is just so perplexed and sad and confused. It's kind of funny. It's always funny to look at Jim Brewer. The guy's just crazy looking. I love him.
Great entertainer.
Absolutely.
Great
awesome.
Entertainer.
So I wonder if that means that he's canceling all of his shows at the Paramount, because he usually does a bunch of shows here. And I thought the Paramount required vaccinations. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, one story you can bet you're going to be hearing from Bernard McGurk in the next 4 hours is Pentagon spokesman John Kirby sidestepping questions about actions attributed to Joint Chiefs Chairman Mark Milley in a new book. The book is Peril by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, and it describes calls that Milley allegedly made to his Chinese counterpart over fears that President Trump might try to start a war in his final months in office. Kirby said it's not unusual to make such calls to other countries.
That's it for us, and just to letting you know, today is going to be some rainy weather. We've got scattered thunderstorms around throughout the day with a high of about 75. That'll continue through tonight and tomorrow. It's just going to be kind of ugly over the next couple of days. But finally, when we get into Saturday actually looks nice. Yeah, 84. We're going to have sun. Hopefully, all the weather is going to stop, all the bad weather. Saturday and Sunday look nice. 84 on Saturday, 79 on Sunday, Frank.
Have a good day, Juliet.
Bye, guys.